Our second reading is from the 17th chapter of John's Gospel, verses 6 through 19. And I invite you again to hear the word of the Lord. Jesus says here, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the other night, I was watching TV, just only kind of half paying attention, when a commercial came on that caught my attention. It was like an infomercial for something called Miracle Spring Water. Anybody heard of this? Know of this? No one? Okay, first time I'd ever heard of it. This isn't like bottled water that you buy in a store. You go to a website or call a phone number, and they send you this little packet of water. You drink it or use it somehow, and you will experience some kind of miracle. Right? So, I went online and found the commercial because I caught it like halfway through, and I'm sitting there thinking, this cannot be real, so I wanted to watch it again. So I went online, and the commercial went like this. It started with a narrator's voice. "Do you need a miracle? Real people with real needs are receiving real, life-changing miracles when they use Miracle Spring Water." Then a woman comes on. "My husband bought the spring water, and I drank it, and I'm speaking today. I had no speech, I was totally paralyzed, and now I'm testifying." Then another woman comes on. "You sent me the water, and I used it. You told me that I was going to get a check for $7,000, and sure enough, I got a check in the mail, and it was exactly $7,000. Then this man comes on. His name is Peter Popoff, and he is the pastor who is who's running all of this. And so he says, "This faith tool will help you receive liberation," that's how he said it, "from the bondage of debt. It's free. I want to send it to you. No obligation. Call me now." Then a third woman comes in. "You told me to anoint my checkbook, and yesterday I received a letter for over $45,000, and my second mortgage is paid off." Fourth woman comes in. "Get the spring water, drink the spring water, or whatever you need to do with it. It really works." Then the narrator comes back on. "Release your faith now by calling for your free packet of Miracle Spring Water. It's free just for calling." So, I did a little digging to check this out. And it turns out that, yes, the water is free. There is some question as to where the water comes from. Back in 2009, Peter Popoff was using water from a spring in Chernobyl. You know Chernobyl, right? Ukraine? The site of the world's worst nuclear disaster that is still uninhabitable today. So you get the packet of water, and you have to sleep with it for one night. I'm not sure why, but it says in the instructions you have to sleep with it overnight. And then you drink it. You pray over the empty packet and you send it back in the mail to Peter Popoff with a donation. And that's the catch, right? You have to send the money or else you don't get your miracle. And I mean, I guess the miracle is if the Chernobyl water doesn't kill you when you sleep with it and drink it. But if you do send a donation, you are bombarded with requests for more donations and the promise of more miracles. Now, I grew up with these kind of televangelists in the 1980s, and so I'm familiar with how all of this works. But there was a part of me that was so shocked that someone would so brazenly advertise a scheme like this in the year 2018. With all the information that we have available to us through the internet now, people like this can so easily be exposed. And I was watching this thinking, how can someone fall for this today? But the most recent financial data available shows that Peter Popoff's ministry received over $23 million in 1 year, just a couple of years ago. So people are responding to this because it is promising to fulfill a need in people. So many people find themselves in situations over which they feel like they have no power or control. Financial problems, health problems, whatever. And they're willing to believe and do just about anything for a sense of power and control in life. So many people are looking for a miracle. And it reminded me, strangely enough, of this story of Jesus' ascension that we just heard from Acts. Jesus is lifted up in a cloud, and the disciples are left standing there, it says, gazing up towards heaven. I mean, imagine that you just saw someone lifted up into heaven. You'd probably be standing there just kind of gazing up too. When suddenly it says, two men in white robes stood by them and said, "Why are you standing there looking up toward heaven?" And I think that we can do the same thing sometimes. We find ourselves in situations over which we feel like we do not have any power or control, and we just stand there staring up at heaven, waiting for a miracle, waiting for some sign of God's presence and power. There's a scene in the movie Bruce Almighty where Jim Carrey plays a man named Bruce. He's having a conversation with God, played by Morgan Freeman, and at one point, God says to Bruce, "People want me to do everything for them." And what they don't realize is that they have the power. That's your problem, Bruce. That's everyone's problem. You keep looking up. You want to see a miracle? Be the miracle. And it's like these verses on the cover of today's bulletin. We scan the empty sky, always without success. We're lighting signal fires and spelling SOS. Are you going to wait here for a sign to let you know now? Are you going to sit there paralyzed by what you've seen? Or are you going to finally grip the wheel? I think you know how. Don't wait for a miracle to tumble from the sky, to part the seas around you, turn water into wine, because we are the miracles. We happen all the time. That's not to say that miracles don't exist. God does act in inexplicable, miraculous ways, and there are times when we come to the absolute end of our ability and knowledge, and the only way is the way that God makes. It's just that sometimes we're too quick to give up and say, "Only a miracle can save us now." And what this is all saying is that God has given us the power to do some pretty amazing things. And God doesn't just want us to stand there staring up to heaven, waiting for God to do something, for God to help, waiting for a miracle. God wants us to go out and be the miracle for one another, for the world. Ascension Day, what we're celebrating today, for the early church, it was a very important holy day. We've kind of lost a sense of that, of its importance over the years, but it is one of the four major feasts of Christianity, along with Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. There's Ascension Day. Jesus' ascension is actually mentioned more times than his resurrection in the New Testament. So for early Christians, it wasn't just that Jesus was raised from the dead. It was very significant for them that he was raised into heaven. Now, we have come to hear this as a story of Jesus' absence, right? That Jesus has left the world, left his disciples, and essentially said to them, okay, this is all in your hands now. You guys take it from here. But the story of ascension is not one of Jesus' absence. It is about his now cosmic presence. The Apostles' Creed, which we'll recite in just a little bit, says that Jesus ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. To sit at the right hand is the seat of honor and power. If someone invites you to a dinner, a banquet at their home, and they sit you at the seat to their right, that is showing everyone else there that you are the most honored, important guest there. Right? So, what this is saying is that Jesus has assumed power and authority over all of creation. That he now rules and reigns in heaven and on earth. He sits at the right hand of God, the seat of power and authority. It's not just that Jesus was here and now he's gone. It's that he was here, and now he is everywhere. And in the midst of the confusion and chaos that we often experience in the world around us, when we don't feel like we have any power or control, the message of ascension is that Christ reigns. That ultimate power and authority now rests in the one who gave his life for us. He now reigns in power for us. So ascension is about Christ being with us in a new way. And that story continues next week in Pentecost, where through the coming of the Holy Spirit, Christ is present with us in a new way. There's a sense in which ascension and Pentecost cannot be separated. Christ's physical presence becomes Christ's spiritual presence with us. Christ is over all, and Christ is in all. Because of this, we cannot look at ascension as Jesus leaving or abandoning this world. If anything, through ascension and Pentecost, Jesus is more present in the world than ever before. And in the same way, he calls us not to abandon or forsake this world, but to be more fully present in it. Not to keep standing around looking to heaven, waiting for Jesus to come back, but to go out and bear witness to his rule and reign and presence here on earth. To live in ways that shows others that Jesus Christ is the Lord of heaven and earth and that he is with us. We see in John's gospel how Jesus says to God in this prayer, everything that you have given me, I have given to them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. And then Jesus says this really interesting thing. Speaking of his followers, the disciples and us, he says, they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. I'm asking you to protect them in the world. Because as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. So sanctify them. Make them holy. Jesus is asking God to give his followers everything they need, everything we need, to live in this world in ways that bear witness to his power and authority and love and presence, so that Christ may be glorified in us. Ascension is not a call for us to leave the world. It is a call for us to take up the work of Jesus Christ in the world. And we do that trusting that we have everything we need because of Christ's presence over us and in us. So we don't need miracles to tumble from the sky, to part the seas around us, turn water into wine, because we are the miracles. We happen all the time. We happen every time a new life is brought into this world. It's a miracle. We happen when we forgive one another, work for reconciliation and peace. That's a miracle. We happen when we speak out against injustice and stand up for those who are powerless and oppressed. That is a miracle. We happen when we feed those who are hungry and care for those who are sick. That's a miracle. We happen when we break the power of addiction or keep loving and supporting someone who is trying to. That is a miracle. We happen when we help someone else rise up out of loneliness or despair or fear. That's a miracle. We happen when we give ourselves to others as Christ gave himself to us. And when we are with one another through all that life sends our way, as Christ is with us. So don't just stand around looking for the presence of Christ. Go out into the world and live in ways that bear witness to the presence of Christ that is over us and in us and all around us. Be the miracle that someone else is looking for. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we celebrate on this day that you have ascended into power and glory in the kingdom of heaven, we ask that you, in your power and glory, would help us to live in the kingdom of heaven here on earth, that we could live and love and speak and act and forgive in ways that show others you are with us. Help us, Lord, to continue bearing your presence to the world. What we have seen and known in Jesus Christ, help us to believe and do. And where miracles are needed, Lord, where people are hurting and sick and despairing and feeling powerless and hopeless, may we bear the good news of your presence, that you now reign in power for us, that you have given us everything we need through the power of your Holy Spirit to live and work in ways that glorify you. We ask your blessing, Lord, upon the life of this church, upon us as we go out from here to show others your life among us. We ask your blessing upon the life of the whole world, that where there is need, you would send us, trusting that you have already given us everything we need to serve you faithfully. In Christ's name, amen.